Shaheen Eisenstein, welcome to the Love Well podcast.
Oh my gosh, it seems so weird.
I know.
It's kind of creepy because I can talk to you normally.
That's right, yeah.
But now that you're interviewing me, it's weird.
It's super weird. But, you know, we're not interviewing, we're just talking.
And I feel like I'm blushing, but I cannot do that.
All right, so for folks that don't, you know, they just don't, might not know who you are.
Probably a lot of people.
Well, I mean, less than you think is my guess.
Okay.
So, all right. So just give people a little bit of a rundown of kind of some of the roles, some of the different hats you wear in the Lincoln community.
In the Lincoln community.
Yeah.
So I've been involved since my daughter was in kindergarten. Well, actually, yeah, in kindergarten at Model. And she graduated in 2020. So that's what, a good 13, 14 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. Always volunteered in the classrooms, coached girls on the run. I'm very, very passionate about being at games of kids I know or kids that I've learned to know through volunteering. And then I was a substitute teacher, substitute para, excuse me. And so I was in a lot of classrooms and learned a lot of kids that aren't my children's age. So I know kids that are Max's age, I know kids that are Grace's age, but the kids in between, it was nice to get to know.
Yeah.
And now I'm a para at the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I love our community.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It is.
It's a lot
good
of
people.
Fun.
Good people. Good people.
But, you know, to go back to the going to kids' games, what is it? Is it nail appointments, hair appointments?
Oh my goodness.
That makes it hard to get to
yes.
the game?
Yes. Okay, so we can discuss this off the record. Yeah. Ethan just fell out of your mouth there.
If Ethan listens to this.
And that was one game. How many games did I go to for
I know,
that
boy? Right?
Baseball, football.
Tons of games. Yeah. Tons of games. But it's that one that he will never let you forget.
He will not.
And if I didn't bring it up, I'd probably hear it from him.
Probably would.
You know.
Probably would.
I'm just saving
a little embarrassed.
I'm saving the chirping on that one. So, you know, it's all about me.
It's all about you.
It's all about me. So, all right.
It's all about Ethan, apparently.
That kid. I tell you what. Something wrong with that boy.
Kind of love him. We kind of love him.
We do too. We do too. We'll keep him.
Yeah, let's keep him.
For a little while longer, at least. Oh. Or at least for another week. I give him a week at a time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We were thinking eternity, but we'll take it a week at a time.
Yeah, just a week at a time.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So when I was, we kind of talked about this a little bit when I was interviewing, when I had Fergie on the podcast.
Okay.
And we were talking about, you know, she was like, you know, most people ask me about this COVID stuff and, you know, how this is the hardest time, you know, as an educator and all this.
Yeah.
But she said, you know, for me, it was a few years ago when we had all of the suicides in the middle school, right? And she's like, there's nothing that has ever compared to that season. And I remember being there. And we did a number of things, but one of the things that kind of came out of that was the
I
Matter stuff.
Yeah,
and that was when I got to see you kind of in your middle school
element,
right?
Okay, you gotta refresh my memory because I don't even know what you're saying.
I mean, so like I was there trying to help these kids figure out what to write down.
Mm-hmm.
But when you would walk into a room and there were kids, there was always at least one, Mrs. E, that would run over and tackle you and give you a hug. And
yeah, right? Hugs are my thing.
So
that's a great way to love well.
It is. So what, and I asked Fergie this too, because middle school is like, I mean...
They don't want anything to do with us.
Well, and I mean, I don't know anybody that's like, I want to go back to middle school. Like, everybody I know is like, middle school, what was that?
Stupid.
I blocked this out, right? I've repressed this.
Isn't there a book, Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life?
It was awful. It was awful. I don't ever want to go back to Pearson Middle
School. And I'm not even sure it was middle school. I think it was just all the changes that you're going through, and you're confused.
It just happens to hit during middle school, right?
Yes, ew and yuck.
Yeah. So what is it about these middle school kids Like, you could have been a parapro at an elementary school. You could have done it at the high school.
Okay. Why, I can answer that clearly.
Why the heck would you choose to spend your days with middle school kids?
Okay, I didn't. So I was a sub, and the kids that I really enjoy, well, that I really enjoyed, let's make that clear,
yeah,
being around were the kindergartners and the high schoolers. Hmm. I've always worked with the youth group at my church. When we were going to Crossroads, and that age group I absolutely love. So there was a parapro who had a medical need, and so they asked me if I would be like a almost like a permanent sub for her. Mm-hmm. Through Christmas, and it ended up being a job that was through the whole year. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go do middle school.
Right.
And I got in there, and Dan, oh my goodness, I realized, like, when you come off of fifth grade, because I was in sixth grade for that year. When you come off of fifth grade and you're the high and mighty, you kind of feel confident and you kind of feel like, you know, you're the king of the castle.
Right.
And then you get dumped into middle school, and sixth grade, you're kind of the nothings, right? And like we mentioned before, all of those changes that you're going through, you're trying to figure yourself out. You might not even be friends with the same kids you were friends with in elementary. And you're trying to come to a place where, like that campaign says, where you have to figure out why you matter.
Yeah.
Right? So I love, love, love being a positive word in those kids' ears. Mm. I don't need to know if they remember who I am 50 years from now. I just need them to remember the words I say.
Yeah.
So when you've got a kid that's feeling like he's nothing because he's not going out for football, or he's not in the band, or his favorite thing in the world is Pokemon and nobody else cares about that, and he feels like he doesn't fit anywhere, to be able to tell him, oh my gosh, you're amazing. I can't wait to see what you do with yourself. I can't wait to see what you do with your life. Because a lot of times it's not the kids that, and I'm not saying those kids won't do anything great, but it's not the kids that are quote unquote popular that end up being on top of something. It's the kids that are focused. Yeah. And so I really truly like being that voice of positivity, that voice of encouragement, that voice of support and love for those kids. I don't need to see the fruition of it. I just want them to feel like they matter, mm-hmm. and to be someone that can give them those words. Mm-hmm. So knowing that they're in that weirdo place where they don't know who they are, and you know, everybody's trying to tell them, oh, you got to start figuring out what you want to do with your life. Hi, I'm 11. What? I don't even know what I want to do with my life. And I'm like 82. So I like that. I like that part of middle school. And I think God, and we're allowed to talk about God,
absolutely,
right? I think God knows us way more than we know ourselves. And when he gave me this opportunity, he was like, yeah, you've got a place that you can fit into these kids' lives. Mm. Or into their memories, whether, not me, but the words. And I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that opportunity because it is a yucky place. I mean, going back to what Ferg said about that time when kids were losing their lives of their own volition, it's a horrible time. And if you don't have people speaking words of kindness and love and support and encouragement into their life, they might not get that at home.
Yeah.
They might not have an adult that's doing that. So it might just be us.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and I'm never going to say me. If you go to the middle school, there are
so many
supportive adults there. Yeah. Wonderful adults there.
Yeah. I mean, our experience, you know, in Lincoln has pretty much been the middle school and the high school. And so, we've just been blown away by just about every teacher and
how much they
staff
care
and how much they care and the kind words and mm-hmm. you know the affirmation, the encouragement.
Yeah.
So what is it about words that matters so much?
Like, okay, so my parents are from Pakistan, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And when we were young, they taught us how powerful words are, that words manifest, right? And so if you're speaking love and kindness into somebody, and I don't want to get like all 70s vibe-ish on you.
Hey, get all 70s vibe-ish.
I might do it. But if you speak words of love and kindness into somebody, it becomes part of their energy, right? It becomes part of who they are. if you speak words of discouragement, if you speak unkind words and ugliness into people's lives, it also comes to life in mm-hmm. their personality and in who they are. Makes them insecure. Makes them feel like they're not enough. So words are super important. There are so many ways to communicate. And you know, I said earlier that hugs are my favorite,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There's so many ways to communicate love. But to actually have somebody that you trust and know is going to tell you the truth, not someone that's... Let me sidetrack real quick. A lot of times people will think that I'm fake.
Yeah.
Because I say kind things, right? And
yep.
and unfortunately, in our society, in our lifetime, being kind is not normal.
Right.
Right? Like, people are like, why are you so nice?
Yeah. What's well, the other shoe going to drop?
What are you? My kids are back here, so they'll probably be like, what? You're nice. but it's something that I learned from losing people in my life. And you learn that if you have an opportunity to say something that could probably make someone feel better for the, not something fake.
Right.
Like, if their shirt is super ugly, don't go, oh, that shirt's great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if someone looks like they're down and you say something like, hey, I kind of miss your smile. It lights up my day normally.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You could bring that smile back to their face.
Yeah.
So back to your question, words, they come to life. And I think words are the way we communicate the most. And so saying kind things to somebody and, you know, like, your eyes look great with that shirt
mm-hmm.
because they're so stinking blue,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to say to somebody. Unfortunately, in our society, if you say that to somebody, they're like, what's your motive? What do you want?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't care about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if people want to assign a motive to what I'm saying. If I think something nice, I just say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's so hard because so many people are earnest but not authentic, right?
Mm.
And
wow,
so
yeah.
like one of the podcasts I listen to is Mike Rowe's podcast.
Okay,
and he did an episode on the difference between, you know, about being earnest and being authentic, and how, you know, always beware the earnest person.
I like
right?
that thought.
You know, because, you know, the earnest person is selling you. They're like,
they have a motive.
They have a motive.
Ulterior
yeah.
motive.
So,
yeah.
Oh, this phone is the best. It's like, you know,
yeah.
you know, they can be so earnest about a thing and be lying through their teeth.
That's
right?
scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But
That's
the authentic person is just being honest and is
mm-hmm.
being real. And it's so hard to distinguish between earnestness and authenticity
yeah,
now.
I guess you're right.
And especially,
and maybe that's why people think it's fake.
Yeah,
mm.
yeah. Because
yeah.
I think we're also on guard for the earnest salesman that...
So I'll let you in on a little secret.
Yeah.
The reason that you can probably trust what I'm saying is I don't need anything from you.
Right.
I really don't need anything from anybody.
Yeah.
Right? So if I say it to you, I mean it.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a super ugly shirt on, that don't say anything about your shirt. There's also the flip side
That's
to
right.
there's also the flip side to saying everything you think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna tell you.
That's right. Well, it's, yeah, and this is so it's so interesting, and I think that, I think the younger generation is so on guard for against the whole earnest thing.
Mm.
Because so much life is spent in the in kind of that virtual sphere
yeah.
where it's harder, I think, to see through the difference between earnestness and authenticity when it's just in text or when it's just an image.
And the scary thing about that, Dan, is like, I'm going to flip this on you real quick. I'm sure you remember an adult in your life that was supportive and encouraging to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we ask that question, most people have somebody that comes to mind.
Yeah.
But kids these days, people can write whatever on social media or through text or through Snap or whatever. And they're, like we were talking about before, this is an area of their life where they're confused and they're trying to figure out who they are. So they eat that up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the earnest people are preying on them
yep.
in that way.
Yep.
So middle school is such an age where we have to kind of protect them, you know, kind of protect them and help them to see who they are, not by telling them who they are going to be, but by telling them who they are.
Yeah.
You're smart, but you're beyond smart, you're wise. Yeah. You know, use that wisdom when you're making decisions. We can't make the decisions for them, but we can remind them that they have the tools. Yeah. I think that's a great way to live well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, how do you define love?
Love or loving well?
Let's start with the love and then we'll go to loving well.
Okay. So the way I grew up, love was unconditional, and the way my parents brought my sister and I up, and they said this on many occasions, when you put the other three people in the family before yourself, you're going to have three people that are putting you before themselves, right? If it's done right.
Yeah.
You always have that, you know, those selfish people that will put themselves first and themselves first. but we learned to really step outside of ourselves and look at what's best for everybody, right? For example, my mom would say, you got to tone your music down a little bit because your sister's in a really bad mood. And so in saying that and in doing those things, we kind of learned to see who was happy that day or who was not feeling great that day and to focus your energy in a way that was going to be positive to them.
Yeah.
So like if my dad had a really hard day at work and all he wanted to do was watch television, but the football game that I really wanted to watch was on, tough. Dad gets the TV. He had a rough day. Mm-hmm. I don't think we do that anymore.
Yeah.
I think now it's all about me and what I want. And I mean, not personally, but it's about me and what I want. And, you know, it's a kind of a narcissistic environment that we're in. So I think that love is defined as being unconditional and caring about somebody before yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does it look like in your mind to love unconditionally? Because I think that's a hard thing
to define.
And even more so to like carry out, right?
Well, I think we can do it 90% of the time. There's that 10% of us that goes, "Yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'm not loving you unconditionally today because I'm going to look at your flaws." and we all have them. I mean, I've got tons. But I think loving somebody unconditionally means, like, look at your children, for example. Not yours personally, but look at our children, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's days when they're angry or, and we can be that way too, or they're angry and they're saying things that you're just like, wow, that's really not you. What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Instead of looking at the flaw of how they're speaking, unconditional love looks at them, right? Looks at the person that you love.
Yeah.
And it goes, this is not who they are.
Yeah.
What is going on? How can I help? How can I figure out what's going on with them? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unconditional love in my eyes.
See, I love that because it, so one of the, do you know who Brene Brown is? Is that
I love her.
Oh, she's great. And
yeah, for the longest time I called her Breenie because I didn't know what her,
I called her Breen. I called her Breen. So it wasn't until I listened to her podcast that I realized her name was Brene.
Brene, it's like Renee with a B.
Yeah. So
let's not even talk about Hermione and what we thought her name was.
Right? Jeez. They, but
I love her.
I think one of the most important things that I've ever heard her talk about is the difference between guilt and shame. And how guilt is the external, like I lied, and
it's
shame,
accountability,
and shame is the internal. I am a liar, and so you know, so guilt means I can come to you and say I lied, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Shame, I'm a liar.
You carry with you.
I'm gonna isolate and run away from you now. Like I'm not going to move towards you because this is just who I am, and so now I'm going to isolate because I have shame.
Cool.
And so what you just said hit on that, where you were like, you know, you're not going to fixate on the flaw. You're going to say, that's not like you, right? What's going on? Because to say that's not like you is to distance them.
The action from the child. Yeah.
So in that, your unconditional love is moving people away from shame and moving towards them, right? So it's this
I like that.
Yeah, like that.
So I didn't say that though. So for the podcast, that was all Dan.
No, that is exactly all I did is just make the connection between the way she uses her words, right? But it seems to be a common thread, like because Amy and I do the same thing, right? Is when we were super intentional when our kids were younger, when they would
mess up,
we wouldn't say you're bad. We would say, you're acting this way.
Sure.
Right?
Or why would you do this?
Yeah. So it was like we wanted to separate the action from the identity, right?
Yep. Yeah. And you know what? I think that the problem in society that we have right now is that we define people by their actions. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's accountability to what you do. Absolutely, 100%. And I don't think we hold people accountable enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you can hold someone accountable for their actions without defining them
yep.
by it, right?
Yeah.
So think about any mistake you've made or any flaw that you have, and I can think of mine. I've made many mistakes. I have many flaws. I don't want to be defined by that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to be defined by who I am at my core.
Right.
And there's not a single one of us out there that doesn't make a mistake. So when you are looking at a child who has frustrated you, even at the middle school, looking at a child that has frustrated you, the first question that goes through most of the adults' minds is, what are they going through?
Right.
What is causing them to act this way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because nobody... Yeah, I think that move is just so important.
It is.
You know, because, we... And what's good about... I think one of the things that's good about the guilt aspect, because I think sometimes guilt gets a bad rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we lump guilt and shame together, and it's like, no, they're so different.
They are.
Because
now
if,
that you've explained it, yeah, they totally are.
Because if I can feel guilt... Then I can go make amends.
Guilt is accountability, isn't it?
Yeah, it's accountability.
It's being accountable for what you've done wrong in this situation.
Yep, yeah.
Something that we have to move away from, though, is my parents taught me that the only person that you can change or the only person whose actions you can change are your own.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful with our children when we say you need to be accountable, because sometimes I would hold myself so accountable and not even look at what the other person did.
Right.
So in a way, then you end up blaming yourself for everything.
For everything.
So there's a fine line.
There is a fine line. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a huge fine line.
Huge, huge, huge fine line. And that's... And
that was an oxymoron. How can you have a huge fine line?
Fine line, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, but that goes to boundaries, right? So,
yes.
You know, knowing what's in my yard, knowing what's in your yard, you know, not taking on what's in somebody else's yard, you know, and saying, well, they didn't cut their lawn. I guess I better go cut it. No,
mm-mm.
No, that's their deal.
Yeah.
You know, I can only worry about, and that's such a huge.
Did you learn that really late in life? Because I did. I learned boundaries super late in life.
I learned them early-ish. only because of the time we spent on staff with Campus Crusade.
Okay.
Because they, one of the really good things they have is what they call their growth model. And a part of that is kind of what Henry Cloud, who's the the king of boundaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has four developmental tasks: bonding, boundaries, adulthood, and good bad split. And so those four things are a part of Crusade's growth model. And so that just became part of our development in Amy and I's early 20s.
Okay. So you knew the boundaries thing.
So we learned it.
That's
like,
good.
We learned the concepts.
Didn't always do it.
Didn't always do it, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's still a work in progress.
Yeah. We have to be careful how we teach our kids, because I was taught, if somebody asks you for help, that is God giving you an opportunity. Mm. And you either take it or you don't. Well, stupidly, I was like, oh, here's another opportunity from God. Oh, here's another opportunity from God, until I buried myself, you know, in opportunities.
Yeah.
So you have to be really careful.
You do. You do.
Super careful.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things. Sometimes, you know, Jesus said, right, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we chop the second half of that off. Like, we just stop at love your neighbor.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've learned over the years is my love of neighbor is directly proportional to love of self. Not in a narcissistic way.
No. Yeah.
But in that sense of making sure that I'm doing what I need to do so that I can love my neighbor, right?
Yeah.
So do I have emotional capacity? Do I have spiritual capacity? Do I have
enough love for yourself?
Enough love, yeah. Because as I take care of me, I can then take care of others. It's the, you know, it's the airplane, you know, oxygen mask thing, right? You know, put your mask on first, then help somebody else.
And the hard part about that sometimes is the way that we grew up. When you help yourself first, you almost feel selfish,
right?
And there's that guilt and shame thing,
yep.
right? You're like, okay, well, I'm helping me and this person needs help.
Yep.
So that's hard, but it's something, again, that I learned late in life, was that the whole self-care movement that's going on right mm-hmm. now, sometimes it gets diluted. Like you hear self-care and you're like, okay whatever. I'm not going to get my nails done, right, Ethan. Yeah. So literally the self-care thing is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just self-care as in, you know, go for a walk, go to the gym. It's self-care as in take care of your mind mm-hmm. and your body and your soul, right? Yep.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of toxicity out there for our souls. And I think the only like salve for it is love.
Mm-hmm.
And love is super duper duper powerful. And I think there's more of it in the world than the hate and the disunity that's being displayed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think it's, you know, at the sake of going back to the 70s, it's going to be what heals us, yeah, right? I wasn't even in the 70s. it's what is going to heal us, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, because, you know, if we can, you know, if we can live out that unconditional love that you were talking about, this idea, you know, that idea of moving the action from the identity of the person, is so, that is so healing, because then it allows us to move towards people even when they act poorly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in so much of our social media kind of world that we live in, right, somebody acts poorly, I'm going to mute, or I'm going to unfriend, or I'm going to block, or I'm going to, like, and that is, whether we want to admit it or not, that's kind of flows into our regular lives.
It does.
Where it's like, this person acted badly, or this person, you know, didn't do these things or whatever, and I'm going to mute them now. I'm just not going to talk to them anymore.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. There's times in real life that I would like to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there have been times where I have done that.
Right.
And,
but here's the other part of that. Like, social media, you know, you've got the people that say social media is the devil, and you have the people that say, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for social media because I can communicate with people I never could before.
Right.
Like, you know, cousins in a different country or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But social media gives people a place to either show their best or show their worst.
Mm-hmm.
And when the worst comes out, for some reason, people gravitate towards that mm-hmm. and things get ugly.
Yep.
And that's the part I don't like. That's the part where love's not coming in.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
But what you said earlier, you said the separating of the person from their mistake, it not only helps us to move towards them, like you said,
mm-hmm.
but it also helps us to remove their shame.
Yeah.
So that person can be more of the best version of themselves.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So when they're feeling shame and they're like, okay, so I apologize to Dan and I feel good about my apology because now he can move on, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
If you, when he apologizes, say, dude, I know who you really are.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Then that person can, like, dissipate that shame to a degree.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we don't need to be walking around with that, do we?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So
okay, so that's what love means to me.
So how do you
boy, that was a conversation,
that's
wasn't
good,
it?
Right, that's good. So how do you then do you move into that as a practice of loving well?
Loving well. Okay, this is my favorite part of this whole interview. So that I matter.
Yeah.
Why I matter. We have found so many ways in this world to devalue people, right? The obvious things like color, gender, I don't know, just there's so many obvious ways you know, this person's hair is emo, so they're probably a horrible kid that, you know, smokes weed and swears all the time.
Right.
We don't really get to know people anymore, right? Yeah. And we devalue them. So I think loving well is looking at people's soul. Mm. Like stripping away. I don't care that you're a white male.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that you're short or tall. I don't care that you're fat or skinny. I don't even like those words, to be honest. But if my parents always told me, there's good and bad people. And the way my dad would say it is he's like, there's no fat or skinny. There's no tall or short. There's no black or white. You got to look at someone's soul, right? And if they're a good person, they're a good person. And going back to my middle school and high school days, I would have missed out on some of the best friendships ever if I would have listened to others. There was a popular girl that I hung out with, a group of people that were pretty, I guess the word is popular. Yeah. And I remember speaking to a girl that was not, She didn't look the way she's quote unquote supposed to.
Right.
She didn't act the way she was quote unquote supposed to.
Right.
She was probably as tall as you, could have been a linebacker, one of the sweetest people I've ever known in my life. And she made me a sweatshirt for Christmas, made me a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Right. And it was super cute for the 80s. I would not wear it now. But I remember
although the 80s stuff is coming back.
It is so, coming back.
So I mean, Gracie might wear it
she's
now.
Got a ton of my 80s stuff. but this particular young lady was super excited about bringing me this sweatshirt. And all I could think was, oh my God, she thought of me. She picked these colors when she was thinking of me. She made this sweatshirt and was thinking of me, right?
Yeah.
It's totally different than a gift that somebody gives you that they were like, oh yeah, I gave every girl in our group Love's Baby Soft, right? Yeah. So she gave me this sweatshirt, and this girl came up to me after I was talking to her, and she said, why are you hanging out with her?
Mm.
I said, oh, she's a friend of mine. And she's like, well, it's either you either hang out with us or you hang out with her. I'm like, okay. And totally hung out with her, right?
Yep.
And that was a way of devaluing her.
Mm-hmm.
I would have missed out on her and that friendship if I would have listened.
Right.
To somebody who's judging her on how she looked, the things she liked to do. Sewing wasn't a big deal.
Right.
I have a great friend who owns a company in Detroit. I'm super duper proud of him. It's called Tailored Detroit. And when he was doing an interview, he talked about, I didn't tell anybody that I liked sewing.
Hmm.
Right. He worked for Backrack. He didn't tell anyone because for a boy to like to sew, and he's super successful.
Yeah.
Just a great, great guy.
Yeah.
You would miss out on people if you go on what the world values.
Right.
Right? So I love meeting new people and finding what I value in them. And I think that that is loving well, just actually seeing a person. And it goes kind of back to people's mistakes and the things that we talked about as far as guilt and shame. There's people walking around thinking, I'm not enough.
Right.
I don't matter. And when you meet somebody that's like that and you see the value in them, there's people that I can honestly say I don't want to spend time with, but God finds value in them,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's purpose in them. Yep. I had to tell my son the other day, we were talking about somebody that's not a very kind person. And I said, you know what's weird? God loves him as much mm-hmm. as he loves you, right? We don't have to. You don't have to surround yourself with those people. But being able to help somebody to see that they're valued and that they're enough, I think that's loving well.
Yeah.
Now, how we do that is different for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. How does it, how do you do that? I mean, so we've talked
about. How do I do that?
Words.
Hugs.
Yep.
There are times when kids are not acting right, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the words and the hugs are everything. Like going to them and saying, dude, what are you doing right now?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
What's going on? Because this looks weird for you.
Yeah.
And you got to talk to them at their level, too.
Right.
You can't, like, give them a dissertation on why their actions are crazy. So, for me, I don't even know how to go past that, Dan. I think it's words and hugs.
Yep. Perfect.
And I'm probably going to get fired now because I don't think we're supposed to be hugging kids.
As long as you don't get somebody upset.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so who, I think I know the answer to this question, but, and I think people who've listened closely to this podcast so far will know the answer, but who has modeled loving well
for you? Who do you think I'm going to say?
I'm going to say that you're going to go with one, your dad.
Absolutely,
and
100%
and one A, your mom. Like, I feel like you're going to go one and one A there.
Okay, so dad is like the epitome of loving well.
Mm-hmm.
Mom is like Bianca Waller. Mm-hmm. She loves super well behind the scenes, right? And I've learned both, but dad is, okay, he was a drug abuse counselor in Detroit. He had the opportunity to work at the University of Michigan, chose to be a drug abuse counselor in Detroit, in the heart of a not so great area.
Yeah.
It's kind of Skid Row type area. And he saw the value in people that society would throw away, right? He worked at a women's prison, and I did not love well at that time in my life. Mm. I think I was in middle school because he brought a girl home for Thanksgiving, and she sat next to him, and I was like, oh, that's my seat. You might need to get your own dad, right? So that was not a love well moment for Shaheen.
Yeah.
But he would take these people that society would throw away, and polish them up with his words and his hugs and his come over for dinner. You're important enough to sit at my table with my family and eat with us. And he got that from his dad, who unfortunately I've never met, but I've heard so many stories. And I'll give you one real quick. There was a guy in Pakistan. It's not cool to be a Christian. I mean, that's not a popular thing.
Yeah.
So this was back in like the 30s and 40s. And my dad had three sisters and a brother. And this man was trying to kill my grandfather because he was preaching in the street, right? Mm. And my grandfather brought him home for dinner. And people are like, are you nuts? Right? You've got daughters. This man is weird and criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, he was waving a knife at my grandfather, who just took it out of his hand calmly, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
And brought him home for dinner. So I see him being like the epitome of loving well, and then my dad is just a step below him. And if I could be a tenth of either of those people, I would be super happy.
Yeah.
But they can find value in anybody. Mm. And so my dad is at the top of the list. My mom, you are right, 1A. When she passed, and that's an example of your family loving well. You guys were there for us when she passed, and we weren't even as close as we are now. So that was a beautiful thing in my life. Sidebar. But when my mom passed, hearing all the stories in the background that we didn't know about, that she did on the sly. Like, for example, we had to wear these ugly clothes for band concerts and choir concerts, and white shirt, black pants, black flats if you were a girl. No high heels. You had to have flats. And there was a young lady who I was friends with, not super good friends, but we had the same outfit, same exact outfit. And she told me at my mom's funeral that her mom had lost her job.
Okay.
And my mom didn't even ask, hey, do you have enough money to get this young lady clothes? She just went and got them when she got mine and took them to her house, and nobody knew.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, she was very good at that behind-the-scenes stuff. And what she taught me about loving well is people don't have to know what you're doing to love well. Dad was like, well, is still, not, I don't want to say demonstrative, but he can, you can see him loving well.
Right.
My mom, it was undercover. Yeah. And both are great.
Yeah.
Both are
great. Yeah, you need the both and, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. So, yep, those are my love well people.
Love it.
So, have to say, there's been a million, though, in my life who I've watched love well. Your family is one of them.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Sorry for turning you red.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. We try, right? We make an effort to...
It doesn't look like you're trying, though. It looks pretty natural.
Oh, there are days where it's more natural than others.
Oh, I get that. There's days when it's work.
Yep.
But it's good work.
It's good work.
Right?
It's good work. You never regret it.
No, no.
You know? So, yeah. Yeah. There are times you think you might regret it, but at the end of the day, it's...
You don't.
You don't.
No. Nope.
So what do you do to keep yourself filled up? Because all of our tanks run low at times.
Kind of hate you for asking that question. Because you know me well, and that's a mean question. I don't do enough to fill myself up.
Yeah.
I don't. And I get burned out, like all of us. But recently with the whole self-care thing, my kids and I have... I always buy them something for Christmas that lasts for the whole year.
Yeah.
And the thing that I got this year was a daily planner.
Okay.
And it's got like a habit tracker in it, and it has places... Like every month is a different word, like commitment or... honesty or love, or this month it's desire, not in a weird creepy way,
right?
But what are the things in life that you desire? And so journaling and writing has always been my thing.
Yeah.
So one way that I fill myself up is to write. Another way is I do morning Bible study with my dad. I haven't done that this week, but we try to do a morning Bible study together, and that fills me up. Another thing is Lincoln's got great insurance for its employees. There's a plug. And I get chiropractic adjustments, and if there's a massage therapist at the chiropractic office, that's covered.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, by our insurance. So I've been doing that.
That's awesome.
And that's a great way to fill yourself back up.
Yeah.
So yeah, just taking care of yourself. I don't do enough. I don't think most people do enough to fill themselves up.
No.
I think unfortunately that we count on others to fill us up, and that's probably not the best
thing. Well, and I think sometimes too we rely or to really practice like legitimate self-care, like the real stuff, takes some effort.
It does.
And so I think so many of us, we come home at the end of the day and we put on Netflix or we put on whatever and we just veg in front of the TV and think that's self-care, right?
Because you're relaxing.
Because you're quote-unquote relaxing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... There are times when we need that, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are times when we just need to...
Shut your brain off.
Yeah. And it's like, but that's candy. That's like, that's the candy of self-care, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
the meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes is it's writing. It's that other stuff, and it's that stuff that requires some effort.
And I'm gonna sidebar.
Yeah.
And we can't talk about this because this is a whole another podcast. But I literally feel like the biggest tool that the enemy has against us is busyness.
Yeah.
And you know it because your kids are in sports. And
yep.
Gracie, when she was in. Her and Max were both in basketball. They were both in dance. Grace was doing marching band. And then you've got school on top of that. Just a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And where is the time for self-care?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you come home and pour yourself into bed at 10:30 and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I was supposed to journal today. I promised myself I would find some time to journal. Right?
Yep.
So it's got to be a priority. And the funny thing about it is even in our busyness, we get to choose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, like you just said, you're choosing to sit in front of the television. You could choose to sit at the table and write.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's work. It is work.
And so one of the things that I'm realizing for me in kind of my journey of self-care or whatever is the word recreate, right?
Mm.
So it's you know, what do I do for recreation? And you just change the emphasis on a syllable, and I think it gets to the heart of really what the word is. Recreate.
Yeah.
Recreation. Like,
yeah.
So kind of in a sense, what am I doing?
To recreate yourself.
To recreate. Yeah. To take part in that act of creation. What am I doing to, you know, to, in a sense, kind of play out that role, that responsibility that God gives us back in Genesis chapter 2 to, you know, to play a part of culture building and you know, all of this stuff.
Be intentional
and it's like,
about it.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh,
that's cool.
If I can, so I'm like, for me, this daily walk habit that I've built, it's like, it started off as a have to, and now it's a
want to.
And it's, well, then it went to a want to, and now it's become a have to again, but a different kind of have to, where it's like, oh my gosh, I really have to go walk. Like,
yeah.
Like there have been days where it's like, it'll
you're
be like 2 o'clock.
You're upset because you didn't.
Yeah, it'll be like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, ouch. And I'll almost start, like, almost have a panic attack. Like,
I haven't walked.
Why am I so angry? Oh, I haven't walked today. I got to go walk. I got to go do this thing right now.
And because you realize how good it is for you.
Yeah.
So the other thing about that is when we're talking about taking the time to self-care, I'll give you a weird example, but it's not weird. This Monday, I was walking with my best friend.
Yeah.
And I woke up and I'm like, oh my gosh, it would be so easy to just call her and say, let's pick another day. Because I'm tired. I don't want to get out of this bed. But once I did, I had a great day.
Yeah.
Because I got up and I actually participated in my life. Because when I'm laying in bed, I'm not really doing that.
Right.
And I started my day right and I had energy and I was so productive.
Yeah.
So when you force yourself to self-care, you find out that self-care actually brings out the best in you.
Weird, right?
Yeah, very weird. Are we still talking about loving well? I guess we are because
we're
loving ourselves well, right?
That's right, absolutely, yeah. All right, so...
funny.
So to wrap this thing up...
Okay.
What are, like... I know music is a thing that you dig.
I do dig music.
So if you're kind of... It's one of those days where it's maybe a little bit blah, and you're like, all right, I gotta get the Shaheen mojo going. What are like five songs.
Five. Good Lord. Could you give me this question ahead of time?
If you'd listened to the podcasts before, you would have realized these
that
were...
That was a question?
This was a question.
Okay. But I didn't know you were going to ask
it
to me.
I know. I like it.
Okay. Instantly,
yeah.
Hallelujah comes up, but two different hallelujahs.
Okay.
The one that everybody knows,
yep.
And then the one that... I don't want to sing it to you, but our dance group did it, and it's a song by a man whose dad passed away.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, one day, he woke up, and he's like, I died with him, and I just got to find my groove. And he found his groove, and he was like, now I'm totally living my life.
Mm.
So it was that, and then Happy comes to mind. I don't know. Casey and JoJo, all my life.
Yeah.
My kids know that when that song comes on in the car, to shut up because mom's going to sing. Seriously. They get quiet before I even tell them now.
That's hilarious.
And then the last song is probably I Love You from my wedding.
Hmm.
Because Chip picked it. And I can't remember who sings it. It's Climax Blues Band or Bread or somebody sings it. And they sing it well, and I like it.
Who sings the second Hallelujah song? Do you remember?
Yeah, I can't think right now. Max and Grace, do you know who sings that Hallelujah song from Dance? No, I'll find it for
All
you.
Right.
I'll find
Sounds
it
good.
For you. Yeah, it's so good,
it.
Though.
That's so
good.
Good. That's great. Now, okay, so I'm shocked right now.
Because there's no Van Halen in there?
Yes!
Okay, so Van Halen is not when I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
Van Halen goes on when I'm having a great day,
and
I'm just grooving.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that it's, don't ask me to pick an album because
no,
it's
I,
all of them.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know better than that. No, that's awesome.
I knew I you were it. Waiting for a Van Halen song.
I was like, man, there's got to be one that she put in. Nope. It's all right.
No, but Van Halen is when I'm already picked up.
Yeah.
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 That's my group.
It's the mood enhancer.
It is.
It just
it
makes
is.
You happier.
And you know what's weird about that? Because people think like I'm this big rock and roll girl, but if you are in my car ever, I'm very R&B.
Yeah.
But Van Halen is definitely my groove.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That is great.
Yep. And we've instilled that, you know, with the many things that we try to instill in our children, Van Halen was one of them.
Yeah. You know what? It's an important thing.
It is. It's a virtue to know Van Halen.
We've tried to instill Garth Brooks in ours, and I think we succeeded with Ethan, maybe. And
yeah.
I think we failed with Lydia.
So there are several songs of his that I absolutely adore.
Yep.
There are, like, The River.
Yep.
And there's several. I had a couple. When country just, like,
blew
came
up.
Out. Yep. Yeah. Came out in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was one of the only ones I liked. Him and Vince Gill.
Yep.
Yeah.
And skills great too.
Yeah.
Well,
good stuff.
Shaheen, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
This was fun. See, I told you it wasn't hard.
It is. It was a little hard. I'm honored that you thought of me.
My pleasure.
I've listened to the other, not listened, but I've seen some of the other people that you've chosen.
Yeah.
And out of my league. So I really appreciate
stop.
You. No, for real. I really appreciate you thinking of me. Those
absolutely.
Are some great people.
We
that you chose.
We live in a just a remarkable community.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we
it's,
do. I'm
it's,
not
it's so funny. There's this, lie. There's this, this country song that I've really started digging. It's called, I know some famous, and I can't remember the name of it. It's the theme of it is I Know Some Famous People.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's like, he's like talking about people from his hometown.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's just great. Cause he's like, you know, you probably haven't heard of them.
Yeah.
But I know some famous people.
That's super
so-and-so
cool.
So-and-so he's the preacher, she's the teacher, you know, and like, and it's a really cool song. And, you know, you start thinking about our community, it's like, these are kind of the famous people in our community.
We've got some great people in our community.
Do.
We really do. And I don't think that any of us could be the best version of ourselves without the other ones.
Yep.
I really don't, because I think we feed off of each other.
We do. We do.
Okay, so if anybody's listening to the podcast that Dan has already interviewed, I would like to flip the script at some point and have all of us sit in a round circle and interview him. So I'm just throwing that out there right
go.
Now. Because
oh,
I'd like
man.
To know your answer to some
oh,
of these questions.
Man. I don't know. We'll see. It's kind of nice being on this side of the iPad.
I bet it is.
So.
I bet it is.
All right, guys, until next time, love well, my friends.